This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Residents of St. Louis are remembering the event that helped to introduce the Ferris wheel, the hot dog, and the ice cream cone. The 1904 World's Fair publicized those innovations, but in the centennial year, some people recall a darker side of the fair. Living people from around the world were displayed in mock-ups of their native villages. Now the descendants of those human exhibits are returning to St. Louis, as NPR's Greg Allen reports.
Meet me in St. Louis, Louis.
The St. Louis World's Fair might actually be best known for the 1944 musical, in which Judy Garland, like nearly everyone else in the city, is excited about the coming extravaganza. St. Louis's Louisiana Purchase Exposition wasn't the first World's Fair. Philadelphia, Chicago, and Buffalo had all hosted successful expositions. But in 1904, St. Louis was determined to outdo them all, with a fair celebrating America's westward expansion and its century of cultural and economic progress. Andrew Walker of the Missouri History Museum says the living people displays turned out to be among the fair's most popular exhibits.
There was a kind of exoticism to it. Many of the living displays were actually displaying or showing their cultural experiences on an area of the fairgrounds called the Pike, which was basically the entertainment or the kind of carnivalesque aspect of the fairgrounds.
The largest part of the fair was the Philippine Village, a 47-acre site that for 7 months in 1904 became home to more than 1,000 Filipinos from at least 10 different ethnic groups. While there were so-called civilized peoples like Tagalogs and Muslims, the big draw were what were then called primitive tribes, the Igorote and Negrito. It was just 6 years after the Spanish-American War in which the United States had annexed the Philippines, and America wanted to showcase its new acquisition. Mia Abella is an Igorote whose grandfather was one of those who journeyed from his mountain village to spend 7 months living on display in St. Louis.
They brought them to the fair to show to the world that here are people who need our help. They need us to develop them. Look at how they dress themselves. Look at how they dance. Just look at how they live.
The Missouri History Museum has recently mounted a new exhibit devoted to the World's Fair. 100 years later, much of what passed then as a chronicle of American progress now seems bizarre and more like a carnival sideshow. Andrew Walker stands in front of a case displaying a color lithograph produced as part of the fair. It's an illustration titled Types and Development of Man. Arranged in ascending order on the page are many of the same people, Walker says, who could be found living at the fair.
So you have the Negrito from the Philippines, which was considered one of the lowest rungs on the developmental ladder of mankind, moving through the African-American, the American Indian, the Arab, the Chinese, all the way up the scale to these different racial types until you eventually reach, at the height of that hierarchy, the Western Anglo type.
At the World's Fair, the Igorote quickly became one of the more celebrated groups, drawing huge crowds in large part because of one of their customs, eating dog. Mia Abella lives in Maryland, but has researched the custom in her trips back to her native village in the Philippines. Abella says in the Philippines, the Igorote would eat dog occasionally for ceremonial purposes. But in St. Louis, she says, the fair organizers soon had the Igorote eating the animals on a daily basis. When the fair was over, the Igorotes eventually returned to their mountain villages in the Philippines, and a strange chapter of history was largely forgotten. That is, until 4 years ago, when sixth graders at Wydown Middle School in suburban St. Louis began wondering why their school's mascot used to be something called an Igorote. They soon learned what an Igorote was, and that their school was built on land where the Igorote World's Fair exhibit once stood. Using the internet, the students contacted an Igorote group and in 2000 helped arrange a cultural exchange. Their social studies teacher, Margie Kent, says they hoped in some way they could make amends for what they felt was the Igorote's mistreatment.
The more we studied, the more we learned, the more my students began to feel guilty and a sense of shame for what had happened 100 years ago, even though they had no part in that. And they felt the first thing that they needed to do for the Igorotes when they came was to offer them a public apology.
Mia Abella, who was at that cultural exchange, told the children they had no reason to feel guilty. In fact, she says there was a positive side to the experience. In St. Louis, Minnie Igorote attended school for the first time, and after returning home, Abella says her grandfather made sure that all of his children and grandchildren received good educations. Today, the once primitive Igorote tribe has members pursuing professional careers around the world. They gather every 2 years to celebrate their history and culture, and in July they'll return to St. Louis. This time, they say, to show the city the true spirit of the Igorote. Greg Allen, NPR News.
Photos of Igorote villagers at the 1904 World's Fair are at npr.org.